Well, friends, Paul wrote to the Galatian church saying, I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. And when you read the passage which we're looking at is Galatians 6 verses 11 to 18, you find that Paul mentions four different types of marks regarding his Christian faith. Paul made a mark on paper. Paul made a mark in society. Paul emphasized the mark of the cross. And Paul had physical marks on his body. So first of all then, Paul making a mark on paper for Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 17, Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica and said, I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. This is the sign of genuineness in every letter of mine. Paul marked all his letters with his own signature at the end. And in this passage in Galatians, he wrote in verse 11, see with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. He probably at that time took the pen from his secretary and signed the parchment in large letters. Now this confirms that Paul had poor eyesight, something he referred to in chapter 4 of Galatians when he said, you know, it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And he mentions that they were so sympathetic and good to him and kind. And he says that you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. That's Galatians 4, 13 to 15. Well, despite Paul's poor eyesight, he was determined to write the gospel, to put a mark on paper of the gospel message, emphasising his the main message in that book, circumcision will profit you nothing if you do not have faith in Christ. Paul acknowledged he was no orator, and he said about himself in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 10, they say his letters are weighty and strong, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech of no account. Yes, Paul used his gift of letter writing to convey the gospel far and wide. So we're challenged there ourselves. Do we put a mark on paper? Do we put this type of mark in our lives? Or more likely now, we're not writing so much on paper, but on our computers, on our iPhones, or texting. Do we mention there about the works, the wonderful works of God? We might not have the gift of eloquence or debate, but do we, with our own hand, put in a word for Jesus, as Paul did, as we type away on our laptops and in our tablets and on Facebook, put in a word, put a mark on paper or on computer screens that Jesus is great? Now, the second type of mark that Paul refers to here in Galatians 6 is making a mark on society. Paul made a huge impression on his generation. He was concerned about the wrong understanding that his generation had about truth, justice, and righteousness. He was concerned about the false teaching that there was on salvation by grace. He was battling against intruders who have infiltrated his church and were winning acclaim by making impressive performances in public speaking and so on. The false teachers were appealing to the flesh and presenting a heroic image that conveyed greatness and popularity. And so he wrote in verse 12 of our chapter, it is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh who would force you to be circumcised. The praises of men are a very powerful incentive to leaders to please the wishes of the public when they write and communicate and try and make an impression in their community. They say what's popular and what makes people feel good. The motives and reasons behind these false teachers in Galatia proved the kind of people they really were. The real reason they wanted the Galatians to be circumcised was to bolster their statistics and to increase their numbers, and would say things like, "We're the fastest growing church in Galatia, join us, come on and join the covenant," and they'd get be circumcised. And they wanted to boast about their success in winning people over. And Paul said in verse 13, "They desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh." Public acclaim is a subtle temptation of Satan to make preachers a play to the gallery, no matter how unpopular or unpalatable. Paul, however, he made his mark on society by preaching the truth. No matter how unpopular that truth was or unpalatable that truth was, the mark that Paul put on society was telling the truth. The truths Paul speak are still challenging young and old people today in every kind of culture. And they're making a mark by bringing people to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So the third mark we have in this chapter is that Paul made the mark of the cross, something big. In verse 14, he wrote, "Far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." Paul says in verse 12, the false teachers forced the Galatians to be circumcised only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. They were actually cowards when it came to suffering for Christ. They did not realize that the cross of Christ was the kernel, the most vital part of the faith of the Christian. And here is where the real test to our faith comes. So many people are happy to belong to the church, to join the choir, to be part of the good public image of serving others and doing good works. But when it comes to suffering for Christ, there are not so many volunteers. This willingness to suffer for Christ is the highest and the best mark, I think, of the Christian. How much are we prepared to make a mark on society by suffering for Christ's sake? Paul said in verse 14, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world, meaning that the world has lost its charm for me and the world is no longer interested in me, for I'm taken up with Jesus Christ. Paul indeed was a new creature in Christ, and he didn't boast in himself. He boasted in the centrality of the cross of Christ. He said that was a mark. Do you know about the cross of Christ and the suffering of Christ? What a challenge that is to us. Who do you and I boast most about, talk most about, write most about? Who's your hero? What kind of mark do you wear on your clothing to show to whom you pay the most allegiance? Is it Jesus? What kind of mark do you wear to show who you serve? Well, the fourth and last mark we have here is Paul in our verse 17, our text, "I bear in my body the marks of Jesus." That's quite a testimony. The word for mark is the word stigmata. Stigmata, of which we get the word stigma. Have you got a stigmata of Christ in your body like Paul had? A stigma is something that sticks with you. It's hard to get rid of a stigma. Paul retained his stigmas, his stigmata of Christ. He had bruises, lacerations, scars, which identified him as a true soldier and saint of Jesus Christ. He was a saint that fought the battles of the Lord, and he was prepared to suffer. And I'm certain Paul must have had many stigmas, for five times he had 39 stripes, lashes and whippings with nails and broken metals. Paul carried the scars for the rest of his life. Just like Jesus, he retains the scars he got from the cross in his hands and feet and side. Of course, there are mental scars and bruises that people can have as well in our souls. And if we are truly living for Christ, we'll pick up scars of some kind. And these scars are very precious to the Lord, for they're testimonies to our faithfulness to him. We're not told when or even where all Paul's lashings were given to him, but what grace he had to say things like, "We're more than conquerors through him who loved us." And if anyone could testify to the sufferings of Christ, for Christ, Paul could. And he was able to say, "For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. That's an amazing statement in Romans 8, verse 37. Well, may each of us be able, in some measure, to say the same as Paul said. And may God bless these thoughts to us.